praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. The Apostle Paul concludes the two long letters to the church in Corinth in a most wonderful, sweet, and loving way. Finally, brothers, he writes in verse 11 of chapter 13, rejoice, be perfected, be comforted or encouraged. Think the same thing, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Actually, these concluding words, especially verse 11, give us a marvelous summary or recap of all the crucial points of the whole book of 2 Corinthians. Ed Marks has joined us for our next to the last broadcast in this life study of 2 Corinthians. Ed, always really a treat for us to have you here. Thanks for coming today.
Well, Chris, it's good to be back on the radio program, especially 2 Corinthians. And Chris, I really believe our listeners will get a lot of practical help as to how we can experience and enjoy the Lord more in our daily life. I think this program will be a great help to us.
You know, in these recent programs, Ed, we've been coming now through this portion that up until about this part in chapter 13 has been Paul's vindication of his apostolic authority. But what we saw in a marvelous way yesterday and the day before, really, not so much Paul vindicating himself, but he was perfecting and shepherding and really practicing the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile the Corinthian believers into the full enjoyment of God. And that's really expressed in these verses today, isn't it?
It is, Chris. And, you know, on a previous program, we covered that verse where Paul's ministry was to betroth us to Christ as our one husband in chapter 11. So the genuine ministry betroths you to Christ and it stirs you up to love him. And when you love him, you enjoy him. And these are just practical words Paul is using to help us enjoy this one we love more and more.
I think of the portion that we just read, these last few verses. Verse 14 is the most probably widely recognized. We're going to spend our program today really focusing on this verse 11. And this is the one where we will hear Witness Lee again point out it's really a kind of a summary of the crucial points that we've seen in 2 Corinthians. So I appreciate that you're here because you have a good way of applying these things that we hear to our own daily walk and experience. So let's join Witness Lee with the first portion of his fellowship.
Verse 11 is the conclusion, nearly with all the important points of this entire book. For the rest, brothers, rejoice. According to the New Testament, a Christian life should be a rejoicing life. If your life is not rejoicing, your life is not normal. We have to realize to rejoice is more than to be joyful. To be joyful is something within. To be rejoicing is something without. That your joy comes from within to the outside. You have to voice out your joy, either by singing or by praising or by shouting or by calling. This is the first characteristic of our Christian life. And then be perfected. To be perfected is to be restored, to be mended, to be repaired, to be adjusted, to be brought back to the right position on the right track and to be built up together with others in the body. This is to be perfected. These two books to the Corinthians have just this one unique goal, to perfect the distracted, the poisoned, the divided, the damaged saints. They were sick. They became unhealthy. They were damaged. They were poisoned. They were this, they were that. All negative. So these two books did a good job just to perfect them. To perfect them simply means to bring them back to the healthy condition. Be perfected. God is waiting to perfect you. And actually, the apostle is being used here to perfect you. Do you like to be perfected? The doctor, the surgeon is here. Do you like to get healed? Okay, be healed. See, you have to take the initiative to be healed. So be perfected.
Ed, as I look at this verse 11 in chapter 13, about five items here. Rejoice, be perfected, and then be encouraged or comforted, thinking the same thing, be at peace. Let's talk about the first two. We just heard Witness Lee here talking about, first of all, the number one characteristic of a Christian, rejoice. And then number two, be perfected. Help us with these two.
Yes, Chris, this is always a critical thing in our Christian life. Chris, as you know, right before Brother Watchman Nee went to be with the Lord, he wrote a letter. It was his last letter from a prison, you know, in communist China. And he made this statement that I really enjoyed. He said, I've learned to maintain my joy. And so as Christians, you know, when you first receive the Lord as your life and your Savior, you might be full of joy, but then you can lose your joy. And we need to maintain that joy and enjoyment of Christ. And to rejoice is to voice out your joy. So I was just thinking about Paul in Philippians chapter 4. Here he is in prison, and his charge to the Philippians from prison is to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, there's something practical here, Chris, that I'd like to just mention. In Romans 14:17, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So where can we get that joy that we need to voice out, you know, when we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, I love you. Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12:3b, it says, no one can say Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. See, so a good way to get into the Holy Spirit where there's joy and a good way to rejoice is just to call on the Lord's name throughout the day. Even now, you might be driving in a car or in the kitchen or somewhere in the house. You can say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Just to speak the Lord's name, to say, praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, just to even talk to the Lord, to have a personal conversation with him where you mention his name, Lord Jesus. No one can call on the Lord's name and say, Lord Jesus, except in the Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful way to rejoice in our Christian life. Chris, in another way that I like to mention that goes with being perfected, is in Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says that he found the Lord's words. He said, your words were found and I ate them. He said he ate the Lord's words as his spiritual food. Then he said, your word has become to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Right.
See, so we can call on the Lord. We can, in prayer and fellowship with the Lord.
Right.
We can get into the word and we can use the word as a prayer book that we pray over with the word. And then his words become our spiritual food. They become our joy and our rejoicing. And Chris, I mention this because in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, it says the Lord's words are medicine to our flesh. They're healing to us. They're health to us. So see, this healing has to do with being perfected, which means to be repaired, mended, adjusted.
Yeah.
You see, so that goes along with rejoicing. So I'd like to say again, Chris, that two practical keys to maintaining a rejoicing life are we have the Lord's name and we have the Lord's word.
Yeah.
We can call on his name. We can speak to him in prayer and fellowship just by saying, Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord. Praise you, Lord. And talking to him throughout the day, we maintain that rejoicing life. And we also have his word.
Right.
When we take his word as our spiritual food, it becomes a rejoicing in our being. And it also becomes medicine to perfect us, to heal us, to adjust us, and to restore us to a right relationship with him.
Ed, as we go on in this verse now, the next three items are to be comforted or encouraged, then to think the same thing, and finally, be at peace. And we'll save the last sweet portion about the God of love, and peace will be with us till our final portion. But let's focus on these next three items as we go back to Witness Lee.
Be encouraged. It means be comforted first. Don't lose heart. Now the perfecting work is here. Nothing should cause you sad. And you have to be joyful. Even voice out your joy. And then be encouraged. You know, this book is a book of encouragement. Chapter 1 and chapter 7 and other chapters full of encouragement. Making you all together satisfied, strengthened, energized to go on without losing heart. Then think the same thing. This is also a crucial point of these two books. In the first book, chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, be attuned. The word attuned also means be amended, be adjusted, be perfected. Be attuned to think the same thing, just a keyboard on the piano. So we all need to think the same thing, that we don't have strange thought. We don't have peculiar thought. We don't have thought that doesn't fit in with all the other things. We have to learn by grace to think the same thing. And then be at peace. Maya. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, I heard from the house of Chloe that there are rivalries, strifes among you. That means what? No peace. But here, be at peace. The Christian life is a rejoicing life. It is also a life at peace. It is peaceful life to strive with others, to be at rivalry with others. This all together against the principle of the Christian life.
Add three things here. Be comforted, then think the same thing, and finally be at peace. Of course, you can touch any or all of these, but this one especially in the middle here. Think the same thing. I was reading something today, and it was pointing out a number of places in his epistles. Paul says something similar to this. This really cuts against our sort of natural inclination. What do you mean, think the same thing? We treasure our independence, don't we?
We do, Chris. And this is a striking term, like you said, Chris. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, think the one thing. And if you look at the context when he's writing 2 Corinthians and Philippians,
yeah,
the one thing, the same thing that Paul wants us to think is he wants our mind to be focused on pursuing Christ, on knowing Christ, on experiencing Christ, and on enjoying Christ. This is the one thing we need to think, and the same thing we need to think. You know, as Christians, we might have different doctrinal views, but deep within us, we want to know the Lord. We want to enjoy the Lord. We want to pursue him. He himself is our peace.
Yes.
When our mind is focused on pursuing Christ, enjoying Christ, knowing Christ, gaining Christ, being filled with Christ, then we think the same thing. And spontaneously, all our problems are solved. There's no divisions among us.
Yeah.
Chris, I was just thinking of Philippians 3 where Paul says, he says, brothers, I don't account of myself to have laid hold of Christ, but I do one thing. And what is that? He says, we need to forget all the things which are behind, everything in the past, and stretch forward to pursue the Christ who's before us. Then he says, I pursue toward the goal for the prize. Well, our goal as Christians is the fullest enjoyment and gaining of Christ. Then our prize in the millennial kingdom will be the uttermost enjoyment of Christ. So, you know, on this radio program, our goal is that we would enjoy the Lord together, that we would gain the Lord, and that we would see him more, know him more, touch him more, experience him more. Then, Chris, be at peace. It's a practical thing in our Christian life. You know, we mentioned Romans 14:17.
That's right.
It just doesn't talk about joy in the Holy Spirit. It talks about peace in the Holy Spirit. Chris, for this, we need to maintain a clear sky between us and the Lord and one another all the time. In my fellowship with the Lord, if there's anything like some way I've failed or sinned, just confess that to the Lord. Just say, Lord, forgive me. And you confess your sin and he forgives you right away. And the blood cleanses you. In the same way, one of the secrets of having a good marriage life is to say, forgive me, I'm sorry. You know, we have to do that a lot in our Christian life. We seek the Lord's forgiveness and we seek one another's forgiveness. And in this way, we maintain a clear sky with the Lord and with one another. What in the universe is greater than having the peace of Christ reigning in our being? So just these practical things, Chris, I think are critical. To focus our mind on pursuing Christ and to maintain a clear sky with the Lord and with one another.
Ed, you know, you mentioned marriage. If you've been married for a while, it doesn't take much to know if your wife or husband has been troubled by something. You said usually just a glance is enough, isn't it? You kind of get a sense. And even to have those times during the day where we just take a moment to turn our gaze to the Lord makes all the difference in the world as to what kind of day we're going to have.
It does, Chris. And Chris, I was just reminded last night, even I said something to my wife that I shouldn't have said. She came back and I realized I need to say, I'm sorry. Before that, I said, Lord, forgive me for, you know, talking to Ruth with that kind of tone. I shouldn't have done it. And then I asked my wife to forgive me and the flow of the life of Christ was prevailing in my being again. So this is very practical. You know, if you're listening to this and you feel there's something between you and another brother or sister, just go to them. And it's so wonderful just to have a clear sky with the Lord and with one another.
Well, the way this verse is structured is really marvelous, Ed, because if we've taken care of them to maintain our joy and voice it out and to accept the Lord's adjusting and tuning and mending and maintain our encouragement, our comfort, think the same thing, and really which issues in peace, then we will experience the God of love and peace will be with you. We can take that as a promise, can't we?
We can, Chris, and this is a marvelous conclusion to this fellowship.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
The God of love. No other book talks about love so much as 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a chapter fully on love. Why? Just because those Corinthian believers who are at strife and at reverently, they were short of love. So Paul here in the conclusion stresses God of power? No. God of miracles? No. But God of love. God of love. Too many Christians today are thinking about God that he is the mighty one, the powerful one, the one of miracles, the one performing miracles, wonders all the time. But Paul here says, you need the God of love, and you need the God of peace. The God of love and peace shall be with you. You be this, you be that, then God shall be with you. We need to rejoice, we need to be at peace, then we enjoy the very God of love and peace. You know, love is the real motivating factor of rejoicing. If you are short of love, you don't have joy. And you cannot rejoice. Try to rejoice when you are hating people. When you are full of hatred, full of jealousy, try to rejoice. A rejoicing one is a loving one. It's one who is filled with love, filled with kindness and peace. Then you can rejoice. I sure like this verse. it's worthwhile to hang up on the wall. But don't just hang up on the wall. Keep this in your entire being.
The best place to hang it is inside our being, isn't it, Ed? It's good that God is a God of power and miracles and all these things, but the God that we really need day by day and moment by moment is the God of love and peace, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. And you know, when Paul is writing this, he's talking about experiencing the Lord in such a subjective way.
Yeah.
When we have the God of love and peace with us, this means that we're living in his wonderful presence. We're enjoying him as love and peace. And Chris, again, I was thinking of something practical for our experience. You know, at the end of 2 Corinthians, he says, the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Right.
And if you look at that verse, the key to enjoying God as love is, again, to maintain our fellowship with him. We have to have a personal and intimate, private contact with him every day. We need to fellowship with him. As we fellowship with him, he transfuses himself into us. He dispenses himself into us as grace, as love, as peace. We can testify from our experience, Chris, that when we have a time to fellowship with the Lord and enjoy the Lord in his word and in prayer, spontaneously, we're loving the Lord and we're loving the brothers and sisters.
Right.
It's not something we work up, but it's the love of God that's been infused into us through our fellowship with him. I keep coming back to Philippians because I feel like these two books, Philippians and 2 Corinthians, just really match one another because they're on the experience of Christ. Chapter 4, Paul tells us, don't be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So when we bring everything to the Lord, when we just talk to him about everything, when you move toward him in prayer, he moves into you as the peace of God and the love of God.
Wow.
And then you just love the brothers and sisters.
That's
you're a
right.
different person.
Otherwise, as he said, how easy is it to rejoice or be full of joy when you're hating someone? Not possible. Not possible.
Exactly. And Chris, our natural love really runs out.
It's not the genuine article.
It's not the genuine article. So that's why every day we need to have personal time to fellowship with the Lord so that we could be infused with his love. Again, Chris, in 2 Corinthians, Paul said this. He said, the love of Christ constrains us so that we wouldn't live to ourselves, but we'd live to him who died for us and has been raised. So when we enjoy the love of Christ as like a mighty tide constraining our being, spontaneously we love the brothers and sisters with the very love of Christ that's
wow.
been infused into us.
That's really good.
And this is just wonderful. And then we express Christ.
Yeah.
And the church is built up.
Uh-huh.
And that's God's purpose.
Oh, Ed, this was a marvelous program. I wish we had more time for it. And I feel bad. And I always come to this point as we near the end of one of these books of the Bible and the enjoyment we've had in it. Tomorrow's our last broadcast in 2 Corinthians. Well, the door is open and the invitation is always standing for you, Ed, to join us whenever you're able next time we convene.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you very much.
And we thank you for listening today. Let me give you our toll-free number. And, of course, there's still time for you to contact us about getting the two life study volumes that constitute the printed life study of 2 Corinthians. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Join us tomorrow for our final program from this life study of 2 Corinthians. And for Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. For 21 years, Witness Lee conducted a comprehensive life study, unveiling how the Bible presents Christ coming to be life to man. These audio programs are based on those messages. But to get the full riches of the life study, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. From there, you can read over 1,800 life study messages in their entirety, or download more audio programs like this one. all free of charge. Again, the website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening today.